Welcome back to Yahoo Finance Live. I'm Emily McCormick here with Brad Smith. And this afternoon, we're joined by our market panel to break down more of today's trading action. Tracy McMillian is Wells Fargo Investment Institute Head of Global Asset Allocation, and David Spica is Guidestone Capital Management President. But before we turn it over to you both, want to take a quick check on the markets here as we see stocks still selling off heading into the closing bell. As we can see, the Dow Jones Industrial Average down by nearly 500 points, or about 1.4%. It is off the lows of today's trading day, but just barely. The S&P 500 also down by about 1.8%, and the NASDAQ Composite down by about 2%. Now, taking a look at the sector action in the S&P 500, we have the real estate, information technology, and utility sectors leading to the downside in the S&P 500. All 11 major sectors still in negative territory during today's session, whereas on the flip side, though, materials, energy, and financials are outperforming, but again, still in the red as we head into this closing bell. Now, taking a look at some of the major components in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, Amgen is the biggest laggard during today's session. That healthcare stock down by about 3.9%, followed by Microsoft and Home Depot, also leading to the downside in that index. And here's the closing bell this Thursday, February 10th.
And there was a live look at the closing bell at the New York Stock Exchange. Markets officially closing here on the day. And as we have been showing you during these final moments of trading, and especially during this final hour of trading, an accelerated move, but to the downside. The Dow closes off of its session lows, but still ends the day in the red by about 1.5%. 526 points lower on the day for the Dow. The S&P 500 also settles down by about 1.8%, 83 points in the red. And then additionally, the NASDAQ Composite, the tech-heavy average, closed down 304 points, 2.1% in negative territory. I want to bring back in our panel here today to help us break down the markets. We've got Tracy McMillian, who is the Wells Fargo Investment Institute Head of Global Asset Allocation, as well as David Spica, who is the Guidestone Capital Management President. And Tracy, I want to begin with you. Particularly, it seems like the markets really just latched onto the idea that the Fed may, and in an accelerating fashion, have to quell inflation concerns that have been persistent and clearly by the CPI data have run hotter than their expectations. And they might have to do so with a higher basis point rate hike than anticipated even at the outset of the year.
That's right. You know, the Fed's gotten two upside surprises within the last week. That employment number last Friday was an upside surprise. And then the inflation number this morning was an upside surprise. So they've gotten surprises on both of their mandates. And that is probably going to cause market participants to think that they're going to be on a more aggressive path this year. And so that's what we think is causing a lot of the disruption today in the market. The Fed doesn't want to surprise the markets, though. And, you know, credit markets have been really well behaved, and they don't want to do anything that's going to cause a disruption to those markets. So, you know, while calls for a 50 basis point move are probably going to intensify, if the Fed is going to take that path, then we think they're going to start communicating that fairly soon, because, again, they don't want a surprise for markets if they do decide to raise by 50 basis points.
David, we still have about a month until the Fed's March meeting. Between now and then, what additional catalysts or events or data releases do you think investors should be really keeping a close eye on to inform that ultimate next move and path forward for the Fed?
I really think the cat's out of the barn. The cat? I mean, the horse is out of the barn. Didn't know cats lived in barns. I should know that living in Texas. Inflation hasn't been this high since I was in high school. So that really puts it in perspective for me. And it feels like the Fed is really behind the curve. So Bullard, Fed member Bullard, saying 100 basis points by July and QT starting in the second quarter, that's not out of the realm of possibility. I think we're there. The Fed realizes they have to start moving. Powell has said this isn't transitory back in November, finally admitted that. We're running at 7.5% inflation. Consumers are getting killed with this inflation. The Fed has to move, and has to move quickly if they want to rein this in.
And as we think about where this sets us up for the near term as well, David, you know, do you expect more volatility to persist? We just had Jared showing us charting a moment ago, this no man's land that we're in right now.
Yeah, absolutely. The we've already seen a deeper drawdown this year than we saw all of last year. Volatility is here to stay. If you go back, even back to the end of the financial crisis, monetary policy has been the key factor in driving returns and really providing that Fed put that allowed investors to come in and buy the dip. That's gone. Those days are behind us, and particularly with the inflation we're seeing now. And the market does not like this. It's like a kid that's never been told no, that is now being told no and is throwing a temper tantrum. This will continue. Earnings growth is absolutely the key factor. But even if earnings continue to grow, we're going to see multiple compression. Historically, when inflation has been above 7%, PE multiples for the S&P have been between 10 and 12 times compared to 20 times today. Now, I don't think we're going to get down to that level, but clearly multiple compression is on the horizon. That's going to create volatility, and that's going to make it a difficult year for equity investors.
Tracy, I want to get your take on what David just mentioned a moment ago with St. Louis Fed President James Bullard saying he now wants to see interest rates up by a full percentage point by July 1st. Do you think that Bullard may be testing the market here in terms of the market response and reaction to this kind of a move? Or is this the most likely path forward now for the first half of the year on interest rates?
Sure. So I don't know so much that he's testing the market here as giving his opinion. And his opinion certainly is that the Fed should be moving faster here. You know, it's our view that the Fed will remain cautious. You know, we did get a very hot number today for inflation, and it was broad-based, and that is adding to the concern. But we also think that this first quarter is when we'll see inflation peak. And so the Fed is going to be raising rates into an environment where we believe inflation is going to be subsiding. And we think that, you know, that number is going to come down as we see supply chains heal, as consumers shift their spending away from goods, which was the bulk of this high number today. And, you know, they're going to move more towards services as COVID subsides. Now, services were also higher than the Fed's target. But again, you know, first quarter should be the peak. We'll see lingering effects of tight labor, supply-demand imbalances. We think inflation is still going to be up about 5% this year, but cooling. So, you know, the Fed, we believe, is going to raise interest rates probably 25 basis points in March, and then three more 25 basis point increases through the year as they watch what's happening and respond to that data.
All right, Tracy McMillian is Wells Fargo Investment Institute Head of Global Asset Allocation, and David Spica is Guidestone Capital Management President. Thank you both again so much for your time and insight.